This interview is with Shane of the Anarchist Media Group. It was carried out in Kopi, a collective house in Berlin, in August 2009. You can listen to more interviews at www.wsm.ie.
So I'm sitting in Kopi, which is, I guess, a collective house in Berlin, and I'm talking to Shane. Shane, do you want to tell us a bit about yourself as an introduction?
How much to talk about? I first came to anarchism in South Africa. In South Africa, I was involved in the Zabalaza Anarchist Communist Front and in a publishing group called Zabalaza Books. And then about 8 years ago, I moved to Berlin with my partner. And yeah, since then, I've been living in... For the last five years, I've been living in Kopi and been involved in various projects, in various campaigns and various groups, some autonomous groups and recently anarchist group, and now involved in an anarchist publishing group.
One of the things that strikes me coming from Ireland is that the economy of the city is still fairly depressed. Like, there's still high unemployment. There's a lot of people I talk to, they're only working part-time. And it's the city culture. Like, a lot of the way people work seems to be finding ways to get by on that. Like, it's much more of a kind of strategy of coping with low incomes rather than Ireland has became this place where everybody was trying to find ways to make more money, which is a kind of different way of working things. So that gives it quite a different sort of flavour. In terms of issues, though, in the city, what do you think are the sort of things that are motivating people? What sort of struggles are happening?
Well, the latest really big one over the last couple of years was a new, how should we say, economic policy that was brought in called Hartz IV, where there were really big cuts in social money that people received from the state when they're unemployed. So there were really big demonstrations on a weekly basis around this. But, yeah, obviously, it was carried through, and this is what is in place at the moment. There's also now coming up, they're trying to gentrify a lot of the inner city. They're trying to move people out of the inner city. And so there are major rent increases, and lots of people are being basically pushed out as much as possible. So there's a really big campaign that's starting up around campaigns called Mega Spray, where there's about 60 or 70 different houses and different organizations and groups involved in it. We've also seen a lot more strikes coming up. The Deutsche Bahn, it's like the local, the national transport company, they've also started retrenchments and cuts in services and things like that. So we might see more strikes taking place. Yeah, that's about it. I can think of it now.
Yeah, one of the things wandering around Berlin that has struck me is the geography of the city is quite tortured by history. The war, the destruction of the city at the end of the war. But also the whole division of the city east-west by the wall, and then the restructuring of the city that followed that, because it meant that suddenly districts that were isolated because they were tucked into a bit of the wall, like I think we're in Kreuzberg here, right? Uh-huh. Near it, yeah. Suddenly become central again, you know. So there's, obviously the suddenly areas that were previously low rent, low income, become areas where there's the possibility of high rent and, moving people out as part of that. A friend of hers is living near Alexanderplatz, which would have been the equivalent, I guess, on the east side. But one of the things he was talking about there in terms of the redevelopment is they're just planning to knock a lot of the old blocks down, and people there presumably will have to move out of the city. So in terms of issues, that it does seem to be a really kind of big one in terms of the city's been completely restructured. I was here 20 years ago, and it looks very, very different from how it looked then.
That's what I was... this Megaspray, the name actually comes from... the name of this campaign, Megaspray, it actually comes from what they are calling a media spray. The spray is the river that runs by here, and this, what they are planning on doing is redeveloping the whole river, so the whole, both sides of the river. So what they're doing is, yeah, they're trying to push all, like, the clubs, all the low-income housing. They're trying to get rid of it all so that they can rebuild with luxury condos, office blocks, and everything like this. And we've seen that Kreuzberg used to be, I don't know, low-income housing, blah. Now, because it's becoming so central, it's going to be right near the river. So now all the houses in the area, all the rents are going up, sometimes even doubling, like overnight. And people are, yeah, they're just trying to push people out. And so I see this in the future as being a really important area of struggle that's going to be happening in the city.
One of the things I think of interest to people in Ireland, and the thing that's probably best known about Berlin, would have been the squatting movement here from the 1980s and into the early 1990s. And that kind of was somewhat transformed in the early 1990s, where a lot of places became legalized, essentially. The government, in order, they decided they had to deal with this, and this was one of the strategies. Lots of violent evictions as well, of course, went alongside that. So this is one of the places, I think, that became legalized. What sort of state is the movement of collective housing in today? I mean, it's probably worth talking about the size of it. Like, how many places are there now?
How many places altogether? I couldn't tell you. Maybe 30 houses, 50, I'm not sure. I know that at the moment there's about 10 that have threats of eviction and may be evicted within the next year or two. So there's, even within the what was the squatting scene, because like you said, either the houses were either legalized or they were evicted. So all the houses left over from that time, which were legalized, are now coming under threat from the owners who want to sell them up and whatever. So there will be more struggles arising. Well, there's already a campaign just for these houses, and yeah, there will be struggles in the city coming up around that.
It's probably worth saying that when we talk about houses, we kind of don't mean a single family unit. Some of these buildings are very big. Like this one, I think you were saying there's 80 people living in it. There's 7 bars, something like that. If you could give the list to...
Somebody counted the other day, and I think in the house itself, there's only 48 people. Something like 12 dogs, and yeah, but then there's also the trailer park next door, and I think altogether there's about 100 people. That's the house and the trailer park. Then there's a cinema. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bars, I think. There's 1, 2, 3 concert halls. There's a pretty big office. There's a silk screening workshop, an info shop. No, I think that's about it, yeah. And the houses are collectively run. All decisions are made at weekly house meetings where everybody's free to come and take part in and encourage. Of course, lazy people in this house, not everybody always does. But, yeah. I mean, when we see, like, really big campaigns coming up or whatever, then obviously a lot more people get active, but the general day-to-day running of the house is, not many people attend meetings, but I think this is quite normal. And like we were saying, I have no idea how many. There are a lot of, this is pretty much standard with all the houses that, they are all run on they have weekly house meetings, and the houses are collectively run through these meetings once a week.
Yeah, so, I mean, overall, the kind of Berlin left is not dominated by this particular thing, but it's very sizable, both in terms of infrastructure, because that's obviously a lot of infrastructure when we're talking about so many places, in comparison with, say, Dublin, where we have one social centre and a rented warehouse. But also in terms of numbers of people, I mean, you're still mm-hmm. talking really of thousands of people either within it or quite closely connected. Probably more, in fact, in terms of people who come to gigs and all that, we're talking tens of thousands. So it creates a particular political culture that's quite sizable in itself, very different from places like Dublin, probably also maybe South Africa and stuff, whatever. It's quite an unusual setup. And also this huge experiment in collective living, essentially, mm-hmm. that's now been going on for, you know, decades in this particular city. I mean, we've talked a bit about the drawbacks of some of this as well.
Yeah.
You might want to...
Yeah. Well, that has been the biggest problem for me as an anarchist coming from South Africa, where most of our activities are aimed at people who would not really have... who are not really politically active. I mean, they might be involved in social struggles as such, but yeah, there's not this total separation like we find in Berlin. I mean, in Berlin, it's very easy to spend your whole life going from a party in this project and a meeting in this project and actually not coming into contact with your ordinary working people, ordinary people outside of... the so-called scene, as it's called in Berlin, yeah. So this is a definite drawback when you are trying to engage with people. There's no, there's almost no contact between the politicized people within this scene and the people outside of it. So, yeah, and of course there's so many more things related to it. It's like, because of this particular culture within the scene, there's a certain dress codes and things like that. And people outside think people inside the scene all look like weirdos. And the people inside the scene don't trust any of the people outside because they don't look right. And yeah, and of course, a lot of people think when somebody new comes in that they don't know and who does not look the part, very often it's assumed this person is a civil cop or something like that. And yeah, there are like really strong barriers between actual constructive dialogue between people inside and outside of the scene. And also, yeah, just we really see the need that we need to break out of this so-called scene. Well, when I say we, I mean the anarchist groups that are active at the moment in the city.
So let's move on to talk about that. There's actually, given the actual sheer numbers of people, mm-hmm. There's actually a surprising lack or smallness, I guess, of mm-hmm. the actual organised anarchist scene. Do you want to give us a quick overview of what actually exists?
Yeah. I was really amazed when I arrived here 8 years ago. I really thought that there would be a really strong, well-organized anarchist movement, and sadly enough, there were no actual anarchist groups at the time. There was one a publishing group called Abolishing the Borders from Below, who actually clearly stated that they were an anarchist group, not just a typical autonome group. And yeah, a little bit later on was the Anarchist Black Cross was formed. It's just a local ABC group. But at the moment, there are four anarchist groups that are active in the city and who are actually now starting to actively work together. There's also a grouping calling itself the Anarchist Federation Berlin. But this is in reality a group of, I think, about 8 to 10 people. But this is like a very synthesis group. It's anybody who calls himself anarchist can get involved in this group. So I would not say they are very effective, and their so-called anarchism is very watered down. So, yeah. But the groups that have formed, these three, four groups that are working together now, are pretty, have a pretty clear class basis to the groups. And yeah, because this whole, the working together, these four groups actually working together, it's quite new. We only started working together, so about 4 months ago. So at the moment, it's going really well. We decided that because of there being no actual organized anarchist history in Berlin for such a long time, everybody's a little bit wary about how this would all turn out. So we decided that the first thing we're going to do to see how the groups can work together is to work on an anti-election campaign for the elections coming up on the 27th of September. And this seems to be going, so far it's going pretty well. There are info meetings planned for Saturday coming up and a few more. And yeah, things seem to be going pretty well, and we may see in the future that, yeah, this may lead to an actual real anarchist federation of Berlin.
Actually, something maybe worth touching on briefly is the whole Autonom thing. I think among people who haven't actually been in the city, it's often a bit of a puzzle because they imagine them as political groups, if you know what I mean, with their own defined program and things. But from talking to you, most of the groups are actually just based around activism, and there's not much political discussion at all that happens. So you can have anarchists and Maoists or whatever in the same group without even realizing that's the situation. Is that more or less correct?
Well, I think with the Autonom movement, when it first started in the early 80s, the emphasis was always put on action, and because of the divisions that might have come through theory, so theory was pushed right to the background and it was all action based. And this has created a culture where there is almost no theoretical debate within the movement itself, and yeah, it was all just action-based, and at the time, really militant street demonstrations. But of course, I mean, a couple of hundred people dressed in black trying to take on the state is just... So eventually, I think a lot of people just drifted off, and yeah, a lot of people, older people from the 80s and 90s, still live in housing projects, but they're not really active anymore. But it's also created a situation at the moment where... In my experience, there's a serious lack of like clear theoretical ideas, and if you get into discussions with people and you say, "All right, so you say you're against the state, but what is the state?" Not many people will give you a really clear answer, and it's just like, you know, the simple basics. Just people have a very what's the word? Not a very deep analysis of capitalism, what is capital? Yeah, and also, like I said, it's not really discussed. So people just keep jumping from campaign to campaign, and yeah, there's no long-term strategy or...
You moved here from South Africa. I mean, one of the interesting aspects of Berlin, in fact, is the number of people who've moved to Berlin from other countries and their political culture as well. But, I mean, I'm sure like most migrants, you're following events back home and you've been back a couple of times. I mean, obviously the ending of apartheid and the democratic transition there was the big story of the 1990s. Mm. What do you make of the developments there since?
Well, I'm sure most people know, but there were really big struggles in the 80s. Two states of emergency declared. Really hard struggles. And then in 1994 was the first multiracial elections. Then the ANC, African National Congress, came to power. And they adopted what was known as a GEAR economic policy, which was the World Bank actually gave a whole lot of so-called proposals for the economic policy, and the one adopted by the ANC was actually more extreme than that asked for by the World Bank, or proposed by the World Bank, whatever. Yeah, so we've seen since then that there's been there's been a lot of privatization, retrenchments. South Africa has the most democratic constitution in the world, as it's called, and yet at the same time we've seen like over a million jobs have been lost through privatization and retrenchments. Because of the privatization, electricity and water has become way too expensive for a lot of people. So, yeah, lots of the struggles that are developing now are all around, access to water, electricity, and housing. Because the banks, trying to kick people out. And So, the new struggles that are coming up now are all based around these, service delivery. And so, there are really big social movements developing now around these issues.
Do you think there's any significance to the number of international people active within the kind of Berlin political movements? I'm not sure there should be, but it is an interesting... It's something you notice, you know.
Yeah, definitely. It's really often that when you come to, campaign meeting or something, that there will be just as many internationals in the room as there will be Germans. There are always people passing through. I mean, Berlin has also... Because of its history, it has, the 1st of May used to be huge riots every year. So this has also, I think, a lot of people in search of adventure passing through. And it still has a pretty, this is actually also another criticism, but it has a pretty militant, at least talking culture, because, But as for people coming through, there are always lots of people passing through, and lots of people stay. And so,
Oh, we should talk about your publishing project. Maybe you could just outline what you're doing in terms of that.
Okay. This is kind of linked into what we were saying earlier about this lack of theory and everything. So myself and a friend, we decided that because of this lack of, the way I see it, lack of a clear idea of what anarchism actually is, we decided to start this publishing group called the Anarchist Media Group. We've published in total now 38 pamphlets on some introductions to anarchism, and then, of course, issues relating to it, like what is class, feminist, ecological, a whole range of pamphlets relating to anarchism. And then, we're trying to get them out at, there are lots of street festivals happening in summer, so we have tables, like book tables at street festivals, and there haven't been any strikes for a while, but normally at the rallies before or after, we will have a table, try have a table there at least. And there's a big, really big info shop network in Germany, so we're going to try get all the pamphlets into all the info shops through this network. There are some commercial bookshops and also some left-wing bookshops which have already taken stuff, and we're going to try get them into more bookshops. But we still have to work out quite a bit of stuff, and of course we're always, lack of money kind of holds us back, but things are going pretty well.
Do you have a website?
Yes, we do. www.anarmedia.info. It's anarmedia.info.
Okay, so people interested in finding out more can obviously look up that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks a lot. Thanks for the time.
It was really good to have you in the city, I think.
This interview is with Shane of the Anarchist Media Group. It was carried out in Kopi, a collective house in Berlin, in August 2009. You can listen to more interviews at www.wsm.ie.